all the time. Y'all guys are looking good, with the exception of a couple of you. Might help you put your mask back on. Amen. Just playing, y'all are looking good. Everybody's looking good. I've had people tell me that the bigger my mask gets, the better I look. They're laughing back there because they're probably some of the ones that said it. I don't know if you've been watching television. I don't know if you've been keeping up what's going on in the world, and I'm talking about all over, but we live in some weird and some wild times. I mean, if it gets any worse, I don't know how. We know it's going to get worse because the Bible said it is. But we're just touching the iceberg. I am going back to Revelation, but I actually was going to talk about how we need to look at this new year to get a good handle on it. And midstream of doing that, the Lord pricked my heart and sent me another direction. And so I'm going to talk with something today that some of y'all might think is crazy to talk about now. Some of you are going to think, man, he's right on time. Well, you know what? It's okay. God's got this. Amen. God's got this. I did hear this story. Get your Bibles. Just stay there, seated for a minute. Get your Bibles turned to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, I honestly don't know when I've seen anything like we're going through right now. And you think that it's about, you know, think, well, 2020 is here and it's going to clear up. 2021 is gone. It's going to clear up. No, 2020 is gone. They just got us ready. That was the down payment. More's coming. Amen. You know, everybody has, God has ordained everybody to live when they live. So I'd have loved to live when John, you know, back in, not John Wayne, but back in the days with the Cowboys. That'd have been my favorite. I don't know about y'all, but I'd have loved to have, you know, been with the Cowboys. It'd have been awesome. You know, even sometimes I think about back in the days with the Roman Empire, there were some times, you know, see some of the things they do. I'd like to be able to participate in, or the Grecian Empire. But just like Mordecai told Esther, you're here now for such a time as this. You know, some of the people we've had, we've lost the Bonnerton Trio and their wives, and we've lost Sister Kathleen. We've seen some who say, well, maybe they died because they were old. Well, there's a lot of people dying now that's not old. And some folks, no matter how old they are, God can cause them to live until he comes back. That's not a problem. God's God. Amen? But I really believe that God just blessed him and said, look, you've already carried the ball to this point. Now it's time for you to rest. Now I need the rest of you to step up and hold on. Okay? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to the church world if we don't, the next generation, if they don't get a hold of this and quit coming in with your hand out and have your fist up, your arm up, ready to work, the church will cease. Okay? Because the older ones, the foothold, the foundation, they're dying out. And so as another generation, we've got to stand up and we've got to take the bull by the horns and we've got to do something. It's very important. And so again, God is allowing us, we're put here for such a time as this, not to run, not to be scared, but to stand strong and be a voice in the wilderness. It's just getting ready to be the wilderness. I like what Brandon said, you know, the wilderness is coming. Okay, we haven't even seen the wilderness yet. The wilderness is coming. If you think going without a microwave for a week or going without television for a week or you got your Facebook, you know, your phone went out, you think that's hard times, then you're really in for a ride. Okay, because things are getting ready to get way, way, way not cool. Okay? And so we got to watch because we're in the beginning of the last days. And it depends on where you're at on the chart. We're either if you're mid-trib, we're in the middle of or beginning of the first 3.5 years. If you're pre-trib, rapture, then we're just getting there to this point. I personally believe we're pre-trib. And I believe we're getting this point, but I'm not going to argue with my brothers and sisters that are mid-trib because there's too much around me not to believe that they could be right. because of the stuff that's happening so fast. Who would have thought that all of a sudden the world succumbs to one virus, and now the whole world is brought to its knees? Now, as the whole world brought to its knees, now we are mandated, you know, that we've got to take care of things. And there's so many things that we got to get done. And now you go, it blew me away when I went to Walmart and they said there was no cash lines. It was all cards. Of course, they got cash now, but only very few. It was all cards. They said, and then go to a drive-thru window like Arby's and it says, we'd rather not you pay, give us cash. Your cash is dirty. Give us your card. And so I see all this stuff and ordering online so you can go pick it up so nobody has to touch any kind of money. The cashless system's coming. The one world government is coming. Revelation is being set up as we speak. And we're getting ready. This like Brandon just said, this is like the very edge of what's coming. Because when they come to you and say, take the mark or you die, and you say, well, then kill me. They say, no, you take the mark or your children die. What are you going to do? I'm not taking the mark either. I'm not taking it. I had a dream. I told you I had a dream. In a dream, I had my grandchildren with me, and they come and said, I don't know if it was the mark or what, but if I remember telling the grandchildren, just hold on. It won't be long. It'll hurt for just a second because we're going to open our eyes if we're going to be in the presence of God. So we're covered here and there, but I'm just telling you, those days of everything being handed to us on a silver platter is gone. Okay? I'm not trying to be a doom and gloom preacher. I would love to just be blowing out bubbles and having clowns up here and everything looking good, but that's not going to happen. We're safe. We're taken care of. God's got us. It's really awesome what we're going to see happen. We're going to see some awesome stuff happening in the wilderness. Okay? It was in the wilderness is that the children of Israel saw some awesome stuff. You know, I did read this, and it's supposed to be a joke, but the more I read it, the more mad I got at it. So it's a joke, but it's going to lead into what we're going to talk about today. Now remember, I was going to talk about how to face 2021. But again, after all the events of this week, last week, and all the stuff that led up to it, the Lord began to speak to me, and I said, I'll get into it in a minute. You'll hear it in a minute, But here was supposed to be a joke, but I'm not sure if it's so funny anymore. Did you hear about the lady that was bitten by a skunk with rabies? The doctor came into her room and informed her, yes, the skunk had a bad case of rabies, and rabies is a highly contagious disease. You are now infected with rabies. The doctor told her that rabies was deadly and there was no cure. She would die a terrible death. She would go crazy and foam at the mouth, then her fever would rise, and then she would die. The lady grabbed the doctor's clipboard and pen, and then she started writing with great speed. The doctor asked, are you writing your last will? She said, no, I'm writing a list of people I'm planning on biting before I go. See what I said? It's kind of funny, but then it's not. Get your Bibles out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Wow. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're here with us, God, and you're doing in us, God, a very powerful, special work. You called us for such a time as this is because you knew we could handle it. You knew that you were going to give us what we needed, and you would hand it down, and you knew that we would reach up and take it. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, to help us. Lord, to know that you got every bit of this, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you cannot do. I ask you, Lord, to prepare us for what's coming. And Lord, let us look for it with joy, because you chose us for such a time as this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated and waiting. Now look at somebody and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Amen. Say that three times real fast. Good and angry. Have you ever been good and angry? Maybe it's all about your thinking when you see this good and angry. You know, after I saw, like I said, the events, I'm not trying to be political. I'm not going to be political. I'm not going to get in a political dialogue today. I'm not here to press one party or the other. I'm not here to do anything of that sort. I'm here to go so much deeper. I mean so much deeper. Ready? I hope you got a pen and paper, and I hope you're writing this down. This is hot off the press. I believe it with all my heart. The Lord and I were talking. Like I said, I was talking about how to view 2021. He said, I need you to stop everything you're doing and start over again. So I began to take my pen and I began to pray and I began to write. And as I began to write, look at that. Wow. As I began to write, the Lord spoke to me so clear and said there's a virus greater than COVID. So sure, does this and that. No. I'm not talking about medical. There's a virus greater than COVID. This virus has caused, listen to this, it has caused more fear. It has caused more confusion. It has caused more loss. It has caused more division than COVID-19 could ever do. It, matter of fact, it is what is fueling. This virus is what is fueling today. It's what fueled last week. It's what's fueled all the way through over the years. It just keeps building and building and building because it's not. Listen, let me. I'm getting ahead of myself again. I'm just going to take it slow. Here's the virus. Anger. Anger. Everywhere I look, I see angry people. No matter what side you're on, no matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you're a conservative or liberal, no matter what I see on both sides is intense anger. It doesn't let up. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. You see, anger should be the watchword of this time. COVID to take second place to this. But this is not even being addressed. Why is everybody so angry? First, there's the lockdowns, the COVID, the lockdowns, the economy, the social injustice, election mayhem. I have never in my entire life seen a time like this. This election where all these grown men who are getting paid all this money are acting like a bunch of little babies arguing back and forth, fighting, a bunch of kids fighting over control of the sandbox. Instead of fighting, they need to be ashamed of themselves, pull together, and let's get something done for this nation. Amen? I told you I'm going to get political. That's my last political statement of the day. Maybe. Ready? But the problem is we're too quick to treat the symptom versus the disease. Listen carefully. Please write this down. Take notes. If you want a copy of these outlines, you can get a copy of this outline. This stuff you're seeing up here, all you got to do is tell me. You can get a copy of it. We're too quick to treat the symptom, not the disease, not the problem. You see, look at this. For the outside wounds is a band-aid. For the inside wounds, we need God's word. Some of y'all in here right now need to understand, get rid of the band-aid. You're trying to take a band-aid to take care of something that you need God's word to take care of. Outside wounds, band-aid. Inside wounds, God's word. So get ready. Get ready. Stopping our anger from the outside only compounds the problem. And it shifts the cycle. When one group seems to be getting ahead, the other group gets angry. The other group retaliates and they get ahead, then this group gets angry. And it's anger, 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 anger. It's like a seesaw of anger. Why is there a seesaw of anger? No, there's a seesaw of anger in our nation. There's a seesaw of angers in our homes. There's a seesaw of angers in our churches. There's a seesaw of angers at our work. Because people aren't treating the disease. They're treating the symptom. And they try to treat the symptom by appeasement or whatever they come about. But what happens is all you do is shift the cycle. This part's mad for a while, then this part is mad for a while. This part is mad for a while, then this party is mad for a while. Listen, the virus must be treated from the inside. You see, all this is going on in our nation right now is a sin problem. Sin, S-I-N. Sin, S-I-N. I-N. It's a sin problem. Only the cross can bring healing to this land and stop that cycle. But the problem is, we're trying to treat it on the outside, not the inside, and then the remedy we're trying to hide. Push the Bible away. Push God out of the way. Let's just have a God among gods. Well, a God among gods or just a bunch of little gods are not going to heal this. It's going to take God Almighty. Amen? So because it's going to take God Almighty, that's why the Bible is so hard. You know, it's being pushed out of the bread basket of the world. It's being pushed out of our hand. Because they say, well, it's got hate speech in it. And it's offensive. Well, you know what? It does not have hate speech and it is not offensive. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and it's the only thing that will heal this land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, turn from their own way to do things, seek Him, pray, then He'll heal the land. So, what's that saying? We ain't got to have everybody on board. If we can just get a handful on board, it says there's two or three gathered, I'm in the midst. If we can get a handful gathered, it'll grow. And it'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow. So here it is. Watch this. I'm gonna break down this verse. This is how the Lord started talking to me the other day. So I was praying, and as I was praying, I just started writing. Anger, be angry, emotion. He does not tell us not to be angry. He does not even tell us anger is a sin. Matter of fact, you know what anger is? It's an emotional arousal. It's caused by something that displeases us. It's caused by something that challenges us. You know, when we see injustice, it causes us to rise up. When we see things happen out of order, or we see harm coming to somebody else or ourselves, then it will make us angry. It displeases us. It challenges us. Let me just tell you something about anger. Anger, watch this now. Anger is God-given. God got angry. Look in the Old Testament. Everywhere you look, God got angry. Look at the New Testament. Do you think Jesus was smiling when He turned over the tables in the temple? Do you think He said, excuse me, sirs, I need to move over these tables if you don't mind? I love what one guy said. We picked him up and said, Jesus didn't hold His tongue. I'll leave it at that. The guys that were there started laughing. They know what He did. He got really intense, okay? Anger, matter of fact, that's what the cross is about. God's anger. That's why God, He couldn't look on sin. That's why He turned His back. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay? God was angry at our sin. And His Son paid the price. So now, is God given? It's universal. I don't know of anybody in this whole world that does not ever get angry. If you never get angry, I want to know what kind of pills you're on. I'd like to take two or three every now and then. Not only is it universal, it can be helpful. Anger gets you up moving. You know, I've seen the time where I just sat there and waited and waited and thought it was going to get better and blah, 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 blah. I just held my peace. And then all of a sudden they got really, really bad or something happened, an injustice, or I was challenged. and I rose to the occasion. But here is the dividing line of anger. Remember, this is our problem in this world today. Anger! You can agree or disagree, that's fine. I'm not here to make you agree with everything I say. I'm here to tell you what God told me while I was in prayer. It's helpful as long as you do it God's way. As long as it's righteous anger, indignation. Righteous indignation. But when it sees and starts oozing out of you, when it buries down deep inside, when it is neglected, when it is pushed aside, when it is buried deep down, it can become very harmful. Even when God says it's okay to be angry, it's okay. But even then, it's got its limits. You got to watch it. It's kind of like some of these, you know, you can take a leave. Your joints are hurting, you can take a leave. One a leave or two a leave. You take 25 a leave, guess what? You take your heart medicine or your blood pressure medicine. You take it as prescribed and it's fine, but you decide you're going to get up one morning and take, I don't think it's doing a good enough job. So instead of taking one, I'm going to take five. Okay? It's kind of like the man that went home. He just got this thing about being assertive. And his wife, she was always running over him. He went to an assertive class. He come back and he said, he's going to try it out. He looked at his wife. He said, do you know who's going to cook my supper tonight? She said, who? He said, you are. Then he said, do you know who's going to wash the dishes after it's done? She said, who? He said, you are. He said, do you know who's going to draw my bath for me tonight? She said, who? He said, you are. Do you know who's going to roll back my sheets tonight? She said, who? He said, you are. She finally said, do you know who's going to tie your shoes in the morning? She said, who? She said, the Undertaker. It can be helpful or it can be harmful. Let's just go a little deeper in this, okay? About emotion. Ready? It can be helpful, and here's how it's helpful. Because when it's proper anger, you will submit it to God. Come on now. No matter how bad I get, no matter how mad I get, no matter how furious I get over something, if I want God to bless what I'm doing, then I need to submit it to God. Can you imagine how much better this world would be if we could submit our anger to God first? Can you imagine how life would be, how our work would be, how relationships would be if we could submit our anger to God? You see, when once you submit your anger to God, watch this. Helpful anger focuses on problems, not people. I'm not attacking people now. I'm attacking the problem. I'm taking care of business. You see, when you submit it to God, you focus on the problem, not the people. What happens is it brings solution. And ultimately, it'll bring peace. Now let's look what happens. When all of a sudden, you don't take care of it. Harmful anger, you take it out of God's hands. You think you put it in your own hands? Because God hadn't moved fast enough. God didn't do it fast enough. God didn't do what you needed fast enough. Whatever. You take it out of God's hands. You think you got it in your hands. But I'm going to tell you what happens. When you get angry and you don't give it to God, I'm going to tell you who you give it to. Like it or not, if you don't give it to God, you're giving it to Satan. And once Satan gets a hold of it, you focus on people, not problems. It brings setback and more problems. You know, there's something special about the word anger in the Old Testament. That there's two words, it starts with origin or gen. In the Old Testament, when it speaks of anger, it's talking about nostrils flaring or face declaring. Now, over the years, it began to take on even more. Because now, for slow anger, in the Hebrew, it's long faith. The Bible says in Psalm 145 and 8, the Lord is gracious, compassionate, He's slow to anger, He's rich in love. He's slow to anger, He's long faith. In the New Testament, fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, you're long faith. But also, the word there, when you take a different side of that word, when it talks about quick anger, it's a short face. So, long suffering, a long face. You actually have a long fuse. You are handling things in a good way. You're not just losing your cool all the time. But when it says short face, quick anger. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 17, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. Woo! Do not raise your hand unless you want to, but how many has ever been a quick-tempered man or woman, and you did foolish things? So I like to say, although I got a big head, sometimes I got a short face. Well, come on. Then sometimes I got a long face. But what it starts with is, do I give it to God or do I take it on myself? So first, be angry. An emotion. Then he says, sin not. Commotion. Oh, come on, say amen. Ouch, something. Just that word right there just does something to me. Commotion. Yeah. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, don't do the sin commotion. Commotion! You see, sin means literally to miss the mark. So, if God says I can be angry, but give it to Him so I'll stay on target. If I take it out of His hands and put it in my hands, which is giving it to Satan, now I'm guaranteed not to hit the mark. I will miss it. How many times you said, I've said it lately, that didn't end quite the way I was expecting it to. I mean, sometimes the word comes out of my mouth like a feather, but the person receives it like a ton of bricks. Sometimes I don't even realize that I'm throwing velvet-covered bricks. I know none of y'all do that. I'm sorry. Y'all need to be preaching this instead of me. But, you know, I let my mouth, my dad used to say, son, don't let your mouth write a check your hind part can't cash. I got a bunch of them checks out there and they didn't bounce. I did. Okay, so the commotion. Sin not to miss the mark. Now, watch this. Look. First, we're going to talk about the good side. The good side now, watch. God, there's several ways that you can bring forth your anger. The first way is constructive. This is good stuff. Y'all say this is good. This is good. This means to be assertive. Just don't go to your wife and tell her all the things she's going to do because she's going to be assertive back and you're not going to like it. Ask the guy with the undertaker. When you're assertive, because you've given your anger to God and God has you on mark, it produces positive energy, it's powered by solution and the Holy Spirit. It's possible, but it is still possible to get out of control, so you must keep it pondered, meaning you've got to keep your mind on it, keep your eye on it. Like a car that every now and then it'll run hot, so you try to keep your eye on the thermostat. Or you got a kid that's had the flu or been sick or had something or somebody in your family and now you're monitoring them and you keep a monitor on them because you know that if it's like with Bethany. Bethany could get sick and once she got sick, we had minutes to get her to the hospital. Minutes. I mean minutes. She'd go, She'd be laughing and cutting up and carrying on, and all of a sudden she would go, "Oh, I don't feel so good." And we would take her temperature, and we'd call up there and say, "Bring her now. Bring her now." You see, when you are expressing your anger, you still need to ponder it. You still need to keep it under control. You still need to watch out, because it can still quickly jump out of your hands. The Bible says in James 1, 19 and 20, "Dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, not just the men, not just the women, not just the Democrats, not just the Republicans, not just the Christians and the non-Christians, the Jews, but everyone, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." Have you ever noticed when the anger starts getting out of control, you don't hear what they're saying anymore? The other party ain't heard a word they said. Not even listening. You should be quick to listen, meaning that should be first. Listen. We're going to talk about this at the end. Listen. Be slow to speak. In other words, you know, a lot of folks has got this bad disease. I have it too, and I have to take something for it all the time. It's called constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. Just well laughing. I'm pretty sure y'all got it too. It's more contagious than COVID. So we have this. So the answer to this is first, listen first. Then guard your words. And then after you guard your words, be slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, it's not talking about that righteous anger. Now you're talking about destructive anger. So here we go. Ready? Y'all ready? Okay, here we go. Again. Now we're going to miss the mark. Destructive. Destructive anger. Now remember, constructive anger, you're assertive. Meaning you step up to the plate, you get it done, you don't sit back and lick your wounds. You get up and do what's got to be done. Okay? That's assertive. But you don't try to hurt people while you're doing it. You try to handle the problem. You assert yourself into the problem, and you let God lead you, guide you, empower you, and watch what God will do for you when you are assertive in your problems. But now, destructive. All right, watch this now. Listen carefully. There's three ways to express this. Ready? Three ways. Number one, aggressive. That's when you explode. Anybody here ever had aggression? And you're not assertive aggression. There's a difference. Aggressive. You're just ready to jump in. You haven't listened. You haven't thought about it. You haven't watched your mouth. You haven't been slow to speak. You just jump on in there with both hands, and you're ready to tear them a new one. Aggressive. Exploding. Secondly, the harmful to miss the mark is passive. Passive is you don't explode, you implode. What is wrong? Nothing. Are you sure I'm okay? Everything's okay. You don't look happy. I don't look happy. Look at me. Imploding. But then I think is the worst of all. Is passive aggressive. Now you explode, but you explode with a silencer. Wow. Now you lay traps and mines. Why are you smiling? I love you. Oh yeah. And here you go. You lay. Wait. And you hurt people like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 25 and 28, if you cannot control your anger, you are as helpless as a city without walls open to attack. You know why? Because now you have no idea what you're doing. You've lost control. Turn the flag upside down. You've lost control. You might not see it. You might not even notice it. But it's there, and it hurts. You know, I'm trying to get ahead of myself again because I feel with all my heart this shouldn't just be going to us and to the ones that are watching Facebook now, but they need to take it and pass it on further and further and further and further. And I guarantee you somewhere in this land there's other pastors, not because I know them, not because I've talked to them. I have no idea. I bet you there's other pastors right now in this nation preaching on anger. That's how God works. And so now, watch. Let's go a bit further. Commotion. Missing the mark. Either exploding, imploding, or exploding with a silencer. Laying booby traps. Or just talking about, I can tell you, talking about them behind their back. When you're in front of them. You get behind them and go, they're about the stupidest people I ever met in my life. Guess what you just did? You exploded with a silencer. Wow. So now, watch this. Let's get ready to go. And it's good stuff. Okay. Y'all got me kind of worried here. There we go. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, demotion. Commotion, an upheaval. Demotion, now you start going downhill. Okay? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now let's go ahead and get this fair and right. You know, some people say, you know, you should never go to bed with an argument unsettled because the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I had one couple come in that looked like they'd been drugged through the mud. I said, what's going on? They said, we got an unsettled argument. I said, really? I said, when did it start? They said, a month ago. And I said, why y'all look so bad now? They said, because we haven't gone to bed for a month. That's not what it's talking about. It's okay to go to bed while you're trying to settle something. That's okay. Settle it. Constructive, not destructive. Settle it. Sometimes it does good to go to sleep on it because you ever say, we're going to sleep on it. What happens is when you sleep on it, now the Holy Spirit can get you quiet long enough to talk to you and show you things and help you. Have you ever gone to bed angry and woke up trying to figure out something? You're trying to figure out a problem, trying to figure out something. You wake up, and you wake up, you got a whole fresh perspective. You know why? Because now you're rested, and over the night, the Holy Spirit ministered to you and showed you something. So here we go. Let not the sun go down. Ready? You take a responsibility to put limits on your anger. Now, I didn't say let me. He said, you. It's okay to be angry. But if it gets out of hand, you're going to sin. And said, while you're in all this, while you're working it, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. We're getting ready to get a little deeper here. Okay, ready? Let not the sun go down. Put limits on your anger, upon your wrath, your rage, your uncontrollable anger. Not constructive, destructive. If you've got destructive anger, no, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. You better figure out some way, somehow, to get some venting going. If you can't vent it with whoever you're mad at, you better vent it with somebody. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now let me tell you something about wrath. Wrath literally means a burst of anger, indignation, violent, explosive temper. Quick-tempered, explosive, to be stirred, have your emotions boiling. There's one thing about wrath by itself. Eventually, it'll fade away. Just as quickly as it flared up, it'll be gone. But if you don't deal with it through the night, because you're going to be at seething, destructive anger has taken hold of you. You may go to bed mad with your mate. Go to bed mad with your employer. Go to bed with somebody mad. Go to bed and go to bed with somebody mad at somebody. And it's wrath. It's that explosive temper. It's not constructive. It's destructive. And we can talk about that. Just get ready. Watch. Somebody put this down here. I want to show you. You either get your anger under control, or it will control you. Because wrath will turn into malice. And the Bible says that all wrath and malice will put away from you. Malice is deep-seated feelings. It's that irritability. It's that now you're not just, it's not no longer quick. It boils and it boils and it boils and it boils until bitterness takes over. Here's what he said. God knew. God's smart. You need to realize how smart God is. Okay. So now we're going to talk about promotion. Not our promotion. Ready? Give. No place to the devil. That word give means grant permission. Open the door. Run around. He says, when we go to sleep, when we don't limit our wrath, it becomes malice. And while it's becoming malice, what happens is, the reason it becomes malice is because now you have given Satan. Let me just go a little further and I'll explain it. Do not give, grant permission, allow, place, space, location, opportunity, open door. Do you know a lot of us, we're letting Satan rent out space in our head right now at certain people? Because we've given Satan permission. We've granted him permission. We've opened the door. And now he's renting space in our head, okay, to the devil. Now, that word devil is a little different. There's several names for a devil in the Bible, but this one here literally is Diablos. Diablos is the accuser of the brethren. He's the slanderer. So now, if you don't check your anger, if you don't find a way to vent it, if you go to bed seething mad, going unchecked, no limits, the wrath can become malice, and the malice itself, now Satan takes it. And I've seen people, they go to bed already seething mad and wake up even madder at the person, and they've done nothing. Why? Because you've given a foothold to the devil. This is the mechanics of anger right here. You're giving a foothold to the devil, the accuser. And now he starts talking about how bad that person is, how sorry that person is, how that person hurt you and done you and blah, 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 blah. And he uses your emotions and your anger to beat up the other person while you're supposed to be getting over it. You grow. That's what's happened in our country. Exactly. Nail on the head. Bam. Nail on the head. Okay. So now, let's just talk about this. I'm going to just give you a couple of scriptures. I'm getting ready to close. I know some of y'all are saying, I'm glad, glad, glad. I said, I'm getting ready to close. That don't mean I'm closing. Ready? Ready? Get ready. Aggressive anger. I just want to write down some scriptures here. Aggressive anger. Colossians 3 and 8, Amplified Version. But now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things. Rage or anger. Rage, bad feelings toward others, curses and slander and foul mouth abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. He's talking to all of us. He's not just talking to certain people. All of us. Say, well, I'm very not that aggressive. Okay, here you go. Passive aggressive. Watch this. And then y'all tell me, I'm going to ask y'all who this is talking about. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Who am I talking about? You know, it's talking about Judas Iscariot. Jesus said, if it had been my friend, I mean, if it had been my enemy, I could have handled it. But it was my brother, the one I love. The words of his mouth, oh man, they were awesome. But in his heart, nope. The same way with Saul and David. Passive aggressive. So, again, this is happening in our nation as we speak. You can't turn the headlines on without seeing that. Try it. Turn on the headlines anywhere, I dare you. Any news organization, that's what you will see. On either side, either country. So now, how do we deal with anger? Oh, did I get a hit of myself? Let's see here. Make sure I didn't. Okay. There we go. How do we deal with anger? Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Whoa! That's not my words. That's not Longfellow's words. That's not Shakespeare's words. The wisest man in the world. Proverbs 16:32. Wow. So how do we handle it? I told you we got to give it to God. We don't just give it to God. Because if you just give it to God, then you might not be sure of what's going on. When you give it to God, you still have to process your anger. And so the way you process your anger, watch this. Ready? Watch this. So, we're going to deal with anger God's way. So let me ask you a question. So you have anger issues. Do not raise your hand. But you can have anger issues. It doesn't mean that you're angry all the time. It does not mean that you walk around ready to kick tail and take names every time you step out the door. You can have anger issues, and actually, the anger issues could be very seldom seen because your anger issues are not chronic. They're acute. I didn't say they were acute. Let me get it right. They're acute. Meaning that you don't have it all the time. How many here know people that can push your buttons and really push them? How many's got some buttons? I mean, don't point at them. Just how many people here got people that you know they know how to push your buttons? Those are the ones that can even cause an acute problem with anger. Issues. Whether it be aggressive, passive aggressive, whether you jump out or whether you just be aggressive with a silencer. So here we go. So you got anger issues. What do you do? Number one, remember the Bible says, let not the sin come upon you, go down, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You're going to have to restrain it. That's part of giving it to God. Watch this. Proverbs 29:11 says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. I've had people tell me sometimes, say, don't you ever get, not everybody, I've had others. Some people closest to me know I get angry. I'm talking about people that just see me on occasion or saw me at work, and, you know, and at work I tried always to keep my cool. You know, I tried to be the Fonz. I even thought about wearing a leather jacket and driving a bike up there sometimes. Because I learned that. Don't vent your anger. I remember on Saving Private Ryan, when the guys were arguing about how they felt that things were being done wrong. And they're walking through, was it Germany, Italy, somewhere they're walking through. And as they're walking through, trying to get Private Ryan, they're walking through on assignment, and the guys are arguing and complaining. And they said, Captain said, noted. And they said, well, Captain, we don't ever hear you argue. And he says, that's not how it works in the military. He says, you argue up, not down. Up, not down. Well, us as children of God, we need to argue up. We've been up, not down. Up. Okay? So now, watch this. So how do I restrain it? This does not mean that the wise bury their anger or don't deal with it. What it means is that they control their anger and how they express it. When you restrain your anger, you keep it within limits. Number one, restrain it. Give it to God. Let God help you through the power of the Holy Spirit and through His Word. Restrain it. I love this. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. When you get angry, you get caught up in the aggressive chain. So first you restrain it. Secondly, you reevaluate it. The Bible says in James 1:19-20, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So watch this. God's way of dealing with anger is to be slow. Matter of fact, think about it this way. My anger should be in a crock pot, not in a microwave. Your anger should be in a crock pot, not a microwave. Because when it's in a microwave, it can get really, really messy. Crock pot, you can deal with it. Okay, so there are some things that you need to let roll off your shoulders and not internalize them, not act on them. So here's what you do. Watch this. Listen carefully. This is one of the reasons I'm here for you. When you reevaluate a person's words or actions, you often find there's no need to get angry. Is that person really not intend to hurt you, or is merely acting out of their own biases, which is not a reflection of you? Bam! This world today. You need to get it off of your shoulders. That's what a counselor's for. That's what a pastor's for. That's what a good brother or sister's for. Vent it. Don't carry it. Don't internalize it. Because if you internalize it, you're going to get sick. Not only are you going to get sick with blood pressure problems and you can't eat and all kinds of things, you get sick, but it's going to get inside of you and it's going to be passive and passive. The only person that gets hurt in passive anger is you. You might as well go ahead and put a gun in the other person's hand and hold it to your head. Okay, so now, get ready. I'm almost through. Y'all guys get ready to play something. Here it goes. One more, and then we're going to close. I love this. He knew me, yet He loved me, whose glory makes the heaven shine. So unworthy of such mercy, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Wow. Ready? You must restrain it. Keep your anger in limits. You must reevaluate it. Let it roll off your shoulders, bend it out, or something, don't internalize it. And then finally release it. You just don't know what they've done to me, Pastor. No, I don't. You don't know what people've done to me. It has not happened here, but I know it's happened before. I know it. I was in a church one time, pastoring a church. And I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. The person was eating me up behind my back. Eating me up. It was not here. This was years ago, back when I was younger and more bolder. And that person was eating me up. I mean, every which way he could, he would tear me up. And then he had a problem with his family. And the Holy Spirit started ministering. And that person who had eaten me up left and right hurt me like nobody's business. And I just kept giving it to God and giving it to God and giving it to God. They come to the altar and they raise their hands and they said, I need some help, Pastor. I need it bad. My family's going to pot. I need help desperately. Okay, get ready. Before you think I got wings and I got a halo all the time. When he first laid down, I got to there and he was just a crying. Okay, ready? Y'all go ahead. Y'all might not want to talk to me like this. What I wanted to do was grab him by his ears and go, boom! How'd that feel? Well, I know y'all have never felt that way. But instead, I put one hand up to God. And I said, God, to myself, you got to help me with this. And I reached down and put my other hand on his shoulder. And God did something to me that day. And I cried with him. And when it was all over with, we were holding each other. You see, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. You got to release it. You got to let it go. You see, when you deal with anger God's way, you feel it. When you deal with anger God's way, you feel the anger, you vent it in a safe way where no one is harmed, and then you release it. I'd have looked that Sunday if I'd have grabbed that guy by the ears and went, "Ooh!" I guarantee the prayer line would have shortened up that day. That's okay, Pastor. We don't need prayer. Thank you. I'm not sure what kind of prayer that was, but we don't want none of that. On several occasions, there was people that were trying to hurt me. And they did everything they could to hurt me. And two of these people, it's amazing, one of them moved across from my dad. Well, he weren't necessarily trying to hurt me, but he weren't helping. The guy that tried to hurt me actually moved beside my father-in-law. The other one moved by my dad. And when both of them, my dad and my father both mentioned my name, both of the guys fell to the ground and started crying. Daddy said, what have I done to him? He's sitting there crying like a baby. Apollo said, what did I do? It's the anointing of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that came on me to handle the thing in the right way. I transferred to them. They never forgot it. And one of them, who is dead now, to his dying day, he'd get a hold of me. He would grab me. And on several occasions, as he talked to me, he'd wipe the tears out of his eyes. Because when I had a chance to go for the throat, I did. But instead, I did this. And I'm telling you right now, I'm doing just what I'm telling you to do. When you deal with anger God's way, when you feel it, and you know it's there, nobody's got to tell you you're angry. Bend it in a safe way, call me up. We'll go meet somewhere. We'll go get some coffee. Bend it in a safe way where no one is harmed. Give it to God. You get rid of it from your body, your heart, and your mind. DC, come on up here. Do you see that? Jesus is not the only hope for America. He's the only hope for this world. Once they get COVID-19 under control, and now it's mutating, and there's two or three different extra strains of it, once they get it under control, life with the virus may change. But until they get the real virus under control. There's still going to be a lot of loss. I want everybody to stand. Now we're going to be bold right now for some bold healing. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Now remember, there's two types of anger problems. There's chronic anger problems, which is something you live with all the time. About drives you crazy because you always got a short fuse. You're always walking around ready to jump. Or maybe you got an acute anger problem, meaning it don't happen all the time, but when it does, it's nasty. I've seen in my life over the years, before I was saved, I had chronic. But God delivered me from that. But I still had that acute. That's called being a human being. And when that happens, if you do what I just showed you, those three steps, you can squash it like a bug. The more you practice it, the better you'll get at it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would say to me, Pastor, I don't know if you call it chronic, I don't know if you call it acute, I just know there are certain things that happen. When it happens, it tears me all to pieces. And I really need God to help, because without Him, I'm sunk. We know the nation needs this, but now we're going to bring it down from the nation, from the world, and bring it to us. If I've been talking to you today, nobody looking around, every eye closed. I've been talking to you today, and you could actually say, Pastor, I got the chronic, or I got acute, or I just sometimes need some help. So I don't get out of hand. If I'm speaking to you right now, I know every head bowed, every eye closed, would you put that hand up? You're going to thank yourself for your honesty right now. Because you just took the first step into seeing that diminish in your life. Such mercy when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Wow. He died so you don't have to live with anger. He died so you don't have to live being tortured by your emotions. He says you walk by faith, not by sight, not by your emotions. Let's all pray this together. Lord, I need You today to do a special work. We know this virus of anger is destroying our world But God, help me to stop it in my own world. Help me to be a peacemaker. And I thank you for that. Help me learn to give it to you. Help me learn to restrain it, to reevaluate it, and then release it. The biggest freedom in this whole world is going to be inside of me right now. And I thank you for it, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on out here on Tuesday nights. I'm not sure where we're going this week. I think it's going to be how to handle the world at this moment. We've been talking about holiday stress. Now we're just going to talk about how to handle this world right now. Open for discussion. You can talk. You can tell what you feel. And you ask all the guys that come. It's not just me talking. I start out on the board and I'll put a list. I'll let everybody add to it. You know, we'll get it going. It's really informative. It's a chance for everybody to speak their piece, and it gives you a chance to vent. Healthy venting, not unhealthy. Healthy venting, and it really works good. This year, again, if you can, in your own world, take this message to mind and spread it. You might not can stop it at world level, but you can stop it, help stop it at your own world level, which eventually will be all the way up. Amen? God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. We got to trust Him. God's got this. Brother Benny, will you dismiss us in prayer?
We thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given us today. Lord, as we go forth, teach us how to control the anger that we have within us. And teach us, Lord, how to let go and let you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.